Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello! This episode is brought to you as part of Wanted Design Manhattan Online, a conversation series presented with Design Milk and Clever. Each day, from May 11th to the 22nd, 2020, we'll feature design dialogues, including new episodes of Clever and engaging live conversations with very special guests. To view the schedule and register for events, head to wanteddesignnyc.com/online. That's wanteddesignnyc.com/online.
The thing that I understood working with Japan, it was really you have to follow all the project like babies, from the first idea to the final concept to the final project.
Hi everyone, I'm Amy Devers and this is Clever. Today I have the pleasure of bringing you this talk with the legendary Giulio Capellini. Trained as an architect, he's most renowned for being the visionary art director of international contemporary design house Capellini. Capellini was started as a wood furniture and case goods manufacturing company by his father in 1946. And when Giulio made his move into the family business around 1979, he did so with an eye for fresh avant-garde design and a vision for a global brand. Fast forward 40 years, he's carved a serious reputation as a design talent divining rod, having discovered and launched the careers of a slew of notables like Jasper Morrison, Tom Dixon, Mark Newson, Nendo, and many others, while also defining eras of contemporary design with his bold curatorial perspective and instinct for eternal statements. He's passionate, curious, and optimistically focused on the long view. Here's Giulio.
I'm Giulio Capellini and I live in Milano and I'm an architect, designer and art director. My main job is to work as an art director in Capellini Company that was in the past the family company. And now I'm taking care of the art direction and also I like to take care of design schools and to write books or articles for different magazines about design, and also have the art direction of some few other companies in bathroom accessories and lighting.
That is a full life, Giulio. Can we go all the way back to the beginning? I know you were born in 54 in Milan, and I always like to get a sense of how you got to be the adult you are by going through the formative years. Will you tell me about your childhood and what kinds of things captured your attention when you were a little boy?
Yes, because, you know, when I was just a little boy, okay, we had already the family business that was a very, very small family company with only 10, 12 workers doing furniture, not design furniture, just furniture. Till when I was really very, very young, I start to smell this kind of atmosphere. And I was always very attracted by Lego or by the construction and so. And so creativity it was for me very, very important, now to work with colors, to draw, and so and so. And that was really my first and the most important things for me. And also, I like very much to build small models of maybe houses or small architectural projects, and that's it. My other passion was cars, and I'm still very passionate about cars, and also my son is very, very passionate about cars. And so, really, it was just my passion, but really, it was for me very, very important. In fact, you know, also speaking about cars, for me, it was maybe more important the shape, the beauty of a car more than the engine, you know. That's why I was in love with the cars, beautiful cars of the 50s, of the 60s, and so and so. Growing, I was more and more interested in, I start to look and to read books about the big masters of design and of architecture. This thing is also till when I was 13, 14 years old. I started to read books. I was really very, very attracted by contemporary design and contemporary architecture, because for sure I had the maximum respect for what was old or antique, but I was definitely more and more attracted by what was new. And later on, I was also very, very attracted by contemporary art, but this happened when I was 18, 20 years old, and so really I was a great fan, I'm still a great fan of pop art, and so and so. So I was really very, very attracted from the artistic side of life.
So can you tell me, do you have siblings? What was the family dynamic like, and were you being sort of groomed to go into the family business, or did you always want to?
You know, I was studying architecture at the Politecnico di Milano, and I was very lucky because during my university, I had the possibility to work for 1 year at the Geo Ponti studio. And as you know, Geo Ponti is one of the most important artists, architect, designers that we had in Italy. And at the time, Geo Ponti was still alive, and we were just a small group of young students, two from Italy, one from Switzerland, one from Germany, one from Japan, and so and so. And so every afternoon we are working with Mr. Geo Ponti, and he was showing to us all the projects that he made in the past, and also gave to us themes on which to work. So for me it was an incredible school. But my idea doing the architecture faculty at the Politecnico di Milano, it was just to be an architect. You know, at that time, the university, we had really, it was just a hot period. We had a lot of strikes and so and so. And so I started just to help the family business, but really just to win few money and that's it. But my idea, my concept, it was really to be an architect or a designer, but not to take care of the family business. But, you know, at the time I was very, very young, and one evening I was drunk, and I told to my father and my mother, so I decided to go ahead with the family business. And I was again very lucky, because my father, he looked at me and he told me, okay, if you take your risk, go ahead. And so I start to enter in the family business.
I'm very curious, because this was a very pivotal moment in your life. What? Why do you think when you were drunk, you said this to your father? Because you clearly had been thinking about it, and maybe it took getting drunk for it to come out.
Yes, you know, anyway, I'm joking just a little bit about this. But, you know, frankly speaking, is that working into the family business, I was already passionate about design. And also, if at that time the Cappellini brand was not a design brand, I was thinking that really we can grow and we can...
You were scheming.
We can try to do...
You had a plan.
Yeah, because my idea again, it was the main concept of the beginning of my job at the Cappellini company. It was that looking at the time, you know, the Italian design was really famous, very famous in the world, because we are at the beginning of the 80s, no? And for sure, this is a fantastic phenomena that started in the 50s with, on one side, at the time, a small group of designers like Geo Ponti, like Achille Castiglioni, like Vico Magistretti, Ettore Sozzas, and so. And these people that strongly believe in design. And on the other side, a small group of entrepreneurs like Mr. Busnelli, Mr. Cassina, and Mr. Gandini from Floss, who really believe in design like a new form of business. And so this small group of people, they create this fantastic, incredible phenomena. But, you know, I was thinking when I start to work into the family business, I say, okay, I was telling to myself, okay, Italian design is really very important. On one side, Italian designers, on the other side, Italian entrepreneur. But I was thinking that, okay, something is happening in the world. I cannot think that we can find good, interesting designers only here in Italy. Mm-hmm. And so I started to travel in Europe, in France, in England, and after in North America, after in Japan. And so I start to meet young designers at that time, totally unknown designers like Jasper Morrison, Tom Dixon, Mark Newson, and many yes. others that they were the first project. And so they started life in our business with me. The idea, no, to create a new concept of design, to maintain and to defend the quality of the Italian production on one side, but on the other side, really to try to work on, when I can see, an international design. Anyway, looking at the DNA of the different designers, because for sure, for me, it's very, very important to understand that in a certain moment, I'm working with a person that is coming from Japan or from England or from North America or from France, and so and so. Uh-huh. And so I start with this idea, with this new project, and okay, step by step, I met really very, very interesting people. And I always say that for sure in my life, I had really the possibility, and I still have the possibility, really, to meet incredible people. And they can be maybe very well-known old designers, or they can be very, very young students or young designers at the beginning of their career. You know, for me, really, these meetings with people are absolutely very, very important. This sort of cultural contamination with people coming from different parts of the world, and this sort of friendship that you can create with the designers is really something fantastic. Because, as I always say, you cannot do a good project if there is not the good relationship between a designer, myself, and the team of the R&D at the Cappellini or in another company.
Yes, I want to ask you about all of these relationships. And I also want to understand, when you had set your sights on taking over the family business and you had a sort of progressive curatorial scheme brewing in your head, did you see the family business as, I know you had an idea where you wanted to take it. Did you feel any resistance, or was it fairly fluid? And did you already have relationships with designers that you wanted to work with, or did that come as you were taking the reins at Cappellini?
At the beginning, okay, on one side, my father gave me really a lot of freedom to work. But on the other side, you know, again, at the time, Cappellini was a very, very small company. Okay. And the Cappellini was selling all only in few areas, in few cities in north of Italy. And so I started to export. I remember that at the beginning, you know, my father and my mother, they were saying, no, but why you have to sell to Germany, to France? You're crazy. And so, so I remember that I didn't eat for 10 days till when they gave to me the possibility, you know, to do what I like to do. You know, when I want something, I really want. I'm an Aries, and really, I'm quite strong from this point of view.
You said you're an Aries? Oh, I can see this.
And, you know, I have to say that starting from the beginning, it was really a fantastic period because, okay, many of the designers, I was looking to them, but after friends of those designers and so. So I can say that really all the designers of that time, they had the contact with Cappellini. For sure, with some of them, we arrived to make products. And so with some of them, we only made prototypes and not products. Mm-hmm. But I have to say that was really in the 80s, in the 90s, a fantastic period. Because I can say that it was incredible in this, at that time, small company in north of Milano to have these people, young people coming from all over the world. And at the same time, you know, the company growth. That means that from 10 workers, we arrived to be 250. So the company grows a lot and we start to export worldwide. But really, I have to say that something happened because I think it has to happen. That means it wasn't really part of a scheme that I really made, no? Because I'm really very instinctive in my choices. And really to say that everything happened based maybe on my passion for my job and based on the passion of all the people that I had the possibility to meet at that time and so and so. But it was not just a precise scheme to say, okay, now Cappellini is 10 workers, I want to arrive to 200, now Cappellini is selling only in Italy, I want to arrive to sell worldwide, and so, and so. No, something happened step by step in those 15, 20 years.
I understand what you're saying. Instead of being really premeditated, what you're saying is you were responding to very intuitively, very instinctually to the climate of the world. And very agilely. I mean, I think the agility and the, you have a very distinct point of view, and I guess maybe the Aries nature means you are very confident in following through on that distinct point of view. Would you say?
Yeah, you know, I have to say that for me to be passionate about my job and the enthusiasm is really the most important thing. And also today, that for sure I'm older, we are no more in the 80s or in the 90s when there is a new project, and not only just a new project about a product, but a project of communication, a project for a show. And so for me, every time is like something new. It's like an examination. It's like a new baby, no? And really, because the thing that I understood working with Giaponte, it was really you have to follow all the projects like babies, from the first idea to the final concept to the final project. And so, really, for me, I can say that, really, okay, unfortunately, this year we don't have the design week and the Salone del Mobile. But normally, you know, okay, we work a lot to do new products and so, but starting from the end of December, starting from the beginning of January till April, for me there is not Saturday, Sunday, and I still work now maybe 14, 15 hours per day, because really, you know, we have to try to always do better what we made in the past, and that's it.
You've mentioned relationships being a critical part of your the way you work, and also you just said following the project through like babies, which makes me get the impression that you and the designer work together like co-parents in many ways.
Yeah.
Can you describe the way that you form these relationships or the way that you understand when they're going to work?
Yes. First of all, you know, the relationship with each person is completely different, no? Because the approach to design from, for example, the approach of Jasper Morrison is different from the approach of Nendo. The approach of Nendo is different from the approach of the Burulek brothers and so on. I think that first of all is respect, and second is really to establish a strong relationship, because in the respect of the DNA of the designer, so the designer has to understand what the company can do or cannot do, and really we as a company, we have to understand what the designer can give to the company. So I always say that I like to work on a global concept, on a global project. Mm-hmm. No? And my role as an art director of the company is really to create this sort of fil rouge that connect the different spirit of the different designers. Because, well, you know, when you look at the Cappellini catalog, you can see really very, very different approach to design. Mm-hmm. Morrison, that is very minimal. Sandro Mendini, that is with a lot of decoration and so, or maybe someone that is more organic and so. So I think that really to create this, what they call this sort of global project, is really very, very important. And anyway, the relationship with the designers is for me something that is the most important thing. Again, if there is not the maximum respect, and there is not a good relationship, you cannot arrive to do a good product. Because, you know, sometimes it takes a lot of time from the first idea to that of the designer to arrive to the final product. And sometimes you have to change many different things. So this means that we have to work years or months together. And if there is not this sort of feeling, it became really very, very difficult to arrive to the final product. And I think that, again, this is very important. And another thing is that, you know, I like to work with many different designers. Most of them are now historical. The relationship with Cappellini is maybe 20, 30 years old. But, you know, each designer working with Cappellini, they know what I'm doing with the other designer. And for sure, with some designer like Nando or Jasper Morrison, we do a new project every year. With some others, maybe take 2, 3, 4 years to make a new project and so on. But again, really, I think that for me, the most important thing that all the people, all the designers that have been working or they work for Cappellini, they have to feel to be part of a family. And again, so there really, again, is a problem of relationship.
I think the family metaphor is actually perfect because I'm thinking about the Cappellini catalog. And you're right. They're all very different. They're very distinct individual personalities. Each one of those projects are babies, but they all share a family resemblance, right? There is something in the DNA that comes from within Cappellini. And I think that's what makes it work.
Yeah, because I think that, you know, we can speak about innovation in many different ways, no? Because innovation can be in terms of shapes. Also, if I always say that really, maybe the most beautiful shapes have already been done in design in the 50s or in the 60s, but innovation can be just in use of new technologies, new materials, new production systems, and so. So really, again, the relationship with not only with me in the company, but also with all my team and the designer, it's really, this sort of friendship is really very, very important. Sometimes you see the same designers, he's doing maybe for a company a project that fits perfectly in the catalog, and with some other companies that maybe products that they fit 50 or 70% in the catalog. But this is not the problem of the designer, it's the problem of the company. Because maybe at that time the company is not able to establish the right relationship with the designer. And it takes time, and it takes time, absolutely. But again, when you establish this relationship, at the end it's for the life, as I can say.
You have a very instinctual way of working, but you've also taken some great risks over the course of...
Absolutely. Always. And still.
Describe for me your risk-taking personality and what compels you to take action.
From my point of view is that, you know, to take risk, it means that when I strongly believe in one person or in one project, I want to do and I push to do that. That means I don't want to be just a marketing victim. Because sometimes, okay,
marketing victim.
Maximum respect for the marketing people. But, you know, sometimes too much marketing kills creativity. You have to defend your ideas. And again, sometimes when you work on a project that is really very, very innovative, it takes time to enter in the market. Anyway, as I always say, we are not producing fresh pasta. That means that if it's not successful in 1 month, you have to throw away. Sometimes, you know, with some new projects of maybe also new unknown designers, it takes years to enter in the market. But again, if I struggle in that, I try to defend this object as I can. And this is, again, to take risk, is to take risk, maybe, again, to make prototypes, and maybe if the product doesn't fit well in the Cappellini collection, to say, okay, no, we stop, maybe we keep this product, and we can sell this product, or maybe we can rethink to this product next year, and so on, so. And, you know, I think that you can really do this if you strongly believe in what you are doing. If you don't strongly believe in what you are doing, you say, okay, this can be good, we have to check the reaction of the market and so, but no, I think that really, again, if you want to create something new, you have always, always, always to take risk. And anyway, you know, the first generation of Italian entrepreneurs, again, in the 50s, they took a lot of risks working with the innovative ideas of those young designers. Mm-hmm. And anyway, they built a fantastic phenomena that is the Italian designer, the made in Italy. And that's
yes. Yes. And in terms of steering Capellini, you've made some pretty astute decisions to reach a larger world market. So you've grown, you've scaled the company, and then you've also joined the Poltrona Frau Group, which is now owned by Hayworth. And that opens up a lot of markets for you.
Yes, because, you know, I think that really the big problem of most of the Italian design companies is that these companies, they are very well known worldwide. They are published by all the design magazines. They have products in permanent collection of design or art museums and so. But at the moment, they are too small to be in the global market, because again, today the market is the world. So when we decide to enter into the Poltrona Frau Group, it was first of all at work with the with company with a different concept, because I have the maximum respect of Poltrona Frau, but Poltrona Frau is more classic, Cassina is more modern, and Capellini is more contemporary. So not to create the supermarket of design and not to overlap the collection, because this is very, very important. Also, if we are part of the same group, each company has to be its own identity, its own DNA. And second, really entering and at the beginning, okay, we were supported by a financial group, by Mr. Montezemolo, and after we became public at the stock exchange, and after we enter in the big Hayworth family. But I have to say that before to enter in this family, Hayworth was since few years, mostly for Capellini, more than for Poltrona Frau or for Cassina, Hayworth was the first customers worldwide for Capellini, because they select some of the products of the Capellini collection that they can fit in contract business for lounges, hotels, restaurants, and so. So the relationship was already strong. And for sure now that you know the contract market, it's really very, very important, because what they call the new countries for design, that can be Middle East or Far East, is more easy, and also North America, is more easy to sell a design product, a Capellini product, maybe for public spaces mostly than for residential spaces. And so this to be with Hayworth help has a lot. And today I have to say that really 70% of the market of Capellini is with contract, with the lounges, with the hotellerie, and so. And also I have to say that, you know, I'm alone. And the idea to enter in the Poltrona Frau Group, it was that I didn't want to push my kids to do my job. I always told them in the past also, you know, if you want, follow me, okay? Yeah. Otherwise, you are free to do whatever you want. In fact, I have, you know, my daughters, one, she's a lawyer, and the other one, she's in fashion business, in marketing, and she's in Paris and so. And I have also Son Giovanni, that again, he was very passionate about cars, and after he turned to design, and at the moment, because he's young, he's 25 years old, he's doing his own experience at the Piero Lissoni studio, because I say, okay, in the future, if you want to work with me, you are welcome, but for the moment, you have to walk with your own legs, no? I've really to think to the future, for sure. For me, you know, again, Capellini is my baby. Capellini is my life. But I have to think that I kill Capellini if I don't think to the future of Capellini without me, you know. So we have really to try to create a good team. And I have to say that The nice thing that, for example, in marketing research, in communication at Capellini, I have people that are working with me since 20-30 years, no? So, you know, they get, it's a sort of virus, this Capellini, and this is very important because they understand me and, you know, I understand that it's very, very difficult, you know, to work with me because I'm asking the maximum to myself and I ask the maximum also to the people that are working with me. Sometimes I arrive in the evening and I'm so tired and they say, okay, these things is good like this. But if I'm not 100% convinced the day after at 7 o'clock in the morning, you know, I say, no, we have to change again. And for sure, now being part of a big group, I have also to follow some rules, no? Because, yeah. For example, in Aylesworth, they are used to decide what to show in a fair, in an exhibition, 6 months, 8 months before. And for them, it was crazy that Giulio, the night before the opening of the Salone del Mobile, decided to change the color of a cabinet or of a couch or a table. That I told them, that's me. You know, if I, for months, I decide that it was good to present that sofa in blue, but the night before the Salone del Mobile, I think that it's better to present in red, we have to turn from blue to red, and that's it. But again, it's a problem of respect, no? And I really have to say that I'm super happy to work with the Hayworth family. They are super.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Support for Clever comes from Wix Studio. Instead of reading you another, let's be honest, boring ad script, Wix Studio just sent me this wild-looking Alice in Wonderland-themed website to scroll through and tell you about. So, whoa. This is not the web I'm used to. There's something called mouse parallax, which makes it feel like you can go deeper into the screen. And as I scroll down, it's like I'm falling down the rabbit hole. And things are moving in depth and perspective. Even my cursor has morphed into a glowing little orb. There are all these no-code animations that make this place feel organic and alive. And Alice is wearing some pretty cool shoes, by the way. Okay, I know I'm mixing up my narratives now, but we are definitely not in Kansas anymore. Your turn to go down the rabbit hole. Build your next web project on Wix Studio, the platform for agencies and enterprises. Hey, Clever listeners. We're getting excited for New York Design Week in May. This year will be better than ever. ICFF, North America's leading platform for contemporary design, will take place from May 19th to the 21st at the Javits Center in New York City. I'll be there, and I'm excited to let you know how Clever is collaborating with ICFF for Launchpad at Wanted, formerly known as Wanted Design Manhattan, and the Emerging Designer Showcase. Launchpad is an international platform for emerging designers that introduces new concepts and showcases prototypes of furniture, home accessories, and lighting. It is the best place for manufacturers to meet new designers, discover fresh ideas, and potential products to develop. The best of Launchpad winners will be selected by a jury of renowned industry professionals, led by yours truly. And they will go on to be featured in another edition of the popular Emerging Designers Showcase. I'll be leading the Emerging Designers Showcase live on the Talks main stage, where the 5 Launchpad finalists will have a chance to present their projects to our esteemed panel of professionals. It's always a really good time. So mark your calendars for Sunday, May 19th at 4 p.m. Both Launchpad and the Emerging Designer Showcase are presented with media partners Clever, that's us, and Design Milk, and with support from American Standard and Lumens. Visit ICFF.com to learn more and register to attend. Those are the letters ICFF.com. Come by and say hi. I would love to see you there.
Nice people. It's a very, very good team. The relationship with all the Hayward team is really very, very good. And also, being part of Hayward Group, I have the possibility to work a lot with Patricia Arcuola. Patricia, she's a good friend. We know each other since the beginning of Patricia's career. Also now, we are doing some projects together because, you know, no, we take when we do exhibitions between Cappellini and Hayward, we do together. Now we are developing with for Cappellini a very, very interesting new project and so. So really, I have to say that I'm super happy because I have the possibility to work with a very good team.
You talked about succession and you talked about something that I think is really interesting, which is how you still work intuitively and instinctively, but with a larger team, which means, you know, your agility has to be cooperative, less maybe impulsive. I think there's a lot that we can learn from what you've been through, and I'd really like for you to share that with us. But before we get there, will you tell me a little bit how you've adapted to be able to still follow your gut, and you seem to feel the world with a very powerful instinct, and then you have to communicate that out to now a large team when there's a lot of friction there. How have you adapted to that process?
It's a problem of respect of the other mm-hmm. people and of passion, mm-hmm. you know. And I think that, you know, as I told you, it's the same that I like to work on what they say, global projects.
Yeah.
When they ask me which is the project that you like more, I say the Cappellini project. And to do a large project of a company and so on, so you have really to speak, you have really to build this project with the other people. Because I think that, you know, if I'm sure that and I defend what I'm doing, I've not to be afraid of the judgment of other people. Why not? That's why, you know, I always like also to have a lot of new young people, not only Italian, mm-hmm. also people coming from other parts of the world in my team, because at the moment, you know, it's true, I'm becoming old. And so for me to...
you don't
really
seem like you're getting
with,
old, Giulio. You've got energy.
Yeah, but you know, but you know, for me, that's why I like very much, you know, to have contacts with young students, with young designers. And so because I really think that really today there is a fantastic new generation that can give to us new ideas and so and
yes.
so. So really, I think that, again, for sure is more complicated today because in the past, okay, I get up in the morning, I decide to make white, I made white, and that's it. Now, I get up in the morning and maybe I have to, if I want to do white, I have to speak and to discuss with 30 people why we want to do mm-hmm. white instead of black, mm-hmm. you know. But I think that if we want to grow, mm-hmm. if we want to think to the future, we have definitely to work in this way. I don't believe in the role of the star, mm-hmm. no? And all the other people, they have only to say yes. The thing that I always say to my team, you know, I am more and more happy when they criticize something that I'm doing instead if they tell me bravo.
Ah, because it's discourse, because then you have a back and forth, then you can really understand why, as a group, why you're making that decision. I totally agree with you.
Yes. You know, they play with me because they always say it that is absolutely not true what I'm telling to you, because they always tell me, if we say that you are wrong, you say, it's impossible. And at the moment to them, yes. And at the moment to them, I always say, no, it's impossible. You are wrong. But after, because I think that, you know, I think that I'm not stupid. I really think of what they told me. And after sometimes I go back and they say, you know, I have a fantastic idea. This, and they play with me saying, you know, it's the idea that we told to you a few hours ago. And they say, okay, this sort of really friendship, because I'm, again, no, is sometimes As people, they say it's not difficult to work, but it's difficult to work with you. Because, again, if we have to work 12 hours per day, and Saturday and Sunday we have to do. And the fantastic thing is that if I have a problem, I can call one person of my team at 11 o'clock in the evening or on Sunday morning when he's or she's with the family and they answer to me. And for me, this is something absolutely fantastic. It's a goal.
Yes, you've created an enormous global family, all working toward a mutual goal. I think it's time that we talk about, you know, some of the hardships that you've faced in life. You have this enormous family that is your work family, and it's built on respect. And so when something doesn't go right there, it's personal.
You know, yes, because this happened because in the year 2000, when I decided to enter into the Poltrona Frau group, for sure, we had just a company taking care, we are checking all the Cappellini things and so and so. And unfortunately, at that time, you know, we discovered that this man that worked for, was working since 17 years for me, and he entered when he was just, was taking care of the administration, but for us it was like a part of the family. It was taking care not only of the business of Cappellini, but also of all the private finance of the Cappellini family. And, you know, the problem is that in his life, in 2 years, he started to play at the casino, losing a lot, an enormous amount of money. And so he started to, not alone, with a group of other people, not people working at the Cappellini company, but people out of the Cappellini company. He was taking the money, but he was not paying taxes and so on. So. So at the end, we discovered this. And for me, you know, it was really something absolutely crazy, and but at the time I decided to give everything that I had from my, and my house, everything to the company, because I didn't want that the company can go in bankrupt and to have all the workers losing their job.
So let me make sure I understand. A longtime friend and employee started with a gambling problem, essentially, started siphoning off money from both the Cappellini and the Cappellini family assets?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Yes, because, you know, he was the only one playing with the money of Cappellini, because I wasn't taking care of the administration.
Right.
Because I was always on the products and I was traveling with customers and so. But really, the relationship of this man was very, very good. And again, it was so good that really was taking care not only of the Cappellini company finance, but also the finance of the Cappellini family, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And when my father died, he gave to him everything what to do. In fact, I think that he take away all some money from my father's. And at the end, this man really started to play to the casino and started to lose a huge amount of money. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you start to do this, you became really crazy. And, you know, it was just taking away money. Till the day that we discovered this with this company, with this auditor of the Poltrona Frau group, that it was 1 month already into the Cappellini company. So it was really crazy. This man disappeared. I was used to say, to tell to myself, I hope to get back not all the all amount, but maybe 20-30% of the global amount. But this never happened. And so, sorry.
Obviously, that's a devastating thing to discover, not just because
it
jeopardizes your family assets and your business, which is your baby, but it's personally devastating as well. And it sounds like this person just started digging themselves into a deeper and deeper hole, and there may have been not just financial jeopardy there, but...
But, you know, for me it was really, yeah, as you told, devastating. In fact, in 1 month I lost 12 kilos, and, you know, because... It was that many people, they start to say, you know, Cappellini has problems because you don't win money during design. Cappellini is a visionary. And so this is absolutely not true, because if Cappellini wasn't making money, this man cannot take away money. That's it, you know. So the Cappellini was doing very well at that time. And the second, really, at that time anyway, okay, the first reaction, it was, okay, then I kill myself. After I had to say that, looking to my family, to my wife and to my kids, I really, and looking to some friends, because I have to tell you that in this moment, you can discover who are the real friends and who just follow you only till when you need to them, no? Mm-hmm. And that's it. And also, so it was really a very, very difficult period. But again, you know, I'm also always used to say, okay, what is next? We have to look to the future. And it's true. When you say that, for me, that moment is like this moment, like we are living today.
Yes.
With the virus, with all the problems. But to say that I'm really very positive, I have to say that really, again, the moment that we are living today is maybe the worst moment of contemporary history.
Yes.
But we have to find the energy to look to the future, for sure, to a future that it will be different from the past. But again, I think that the most important thing is to be ready to adapt, maybe not to change our life, but to adapt our life to this new situation. And again, is what I made 15 years ago. And I have to say, for sure, I lose a lot of money. And at that time, I understood that you can live with $1,000 and you can live also with $100. On the other side, really, I understood who were my real friends and who wasn't my real friends. And so I found the power to go ahead, and that's it. And for me, really, the respect from many people, it was really the power that gave me the real power to go ahead, and that's it.
Well, you are...
It's life.
Yeah, it is life, but your attitude and your optimism, I think, are part and parcel of what you're famous for, which is having an ability to spot long sellers versus best sellers. And that you have a very long view, I think, in terms of your life, your business, and even these roller coaster, these deep plummets on the roller coaster of life, you still look to the next peak, which I think is one of your superpowers.
Fortunately, you know, I always think that what we are doing, we don't need to use too many words to explain what we are doing. Because if we spend more than 50 words to explain a project on which we are working, it's because we are not 100% convinced of what we are doing. I really think that we have the possibility to show to the people what we think, which is our concept, our idea, just doing things. And I think that this is, again, the most important thing. And really, I always say that there is something new to invent. Sometimes, and it's the thing that I always tell to the students of today, young designers, because many times people, they say, oh, everything has been done in design, and so and so. And they say, no, that is absolutely not true. There are really millions of new things to do. Because also, you know, to do design is not only to design a table and a chair or a sofa, but today you can design really thousands of beautiful objects. And also, I think that the role of people working in creativity and in designer is not only to make useful and beautiful product, but also to make people dreaming and smiling. I think that this is, again, something very important. And coming back
to connect to their emotions.
Yeah. Otherwise, without emotion, is nothing.
Sad.
You know.
Soulless.
And also back to what you were saying. Sure, I like to work on long sellers. I always said that design create best sellers, good design create long sellers. Because, you know, I think that is a sort of guarantee for the end consumer to see a product, maybe in a different color with a different texture, and so in the market after 20, 30 years. Because people, they say, wow, if this product is still in the market, is really good. And I think that in this particular historical moment, we really need of the heritage. We want to be secure. We want to be, you know, we need of these kind of objects that they became part of our life. Mm-hmm. So I think that the idea, the concept of objects really timeless is absolutely very important. And
it's multi-generational, like families. You wouldn't want to be in a family with no parents and grandparents.
No, it's absolutely true. And also, you know, I think that after this period, because it's really a terrible period, and we have to say that, yeah, okay, on one side, people that are suffering or are dying and so, but on the other side, no, a lot of people, they lost their job, and really, so we have already, and we will have many, many problems in the future. But I think that this is my idea, maybe I'm completely wrong, that maybe people, they will buy less product, but more, not take a take away, not products using and throw away, mm-hmm. but really products that became part of their life. No?
Yes.
And so I think that there will be just a sort of changement in the idea, in the concept of buying objects from the final customers. This is my idea. Maybe I'm wrong. Eh?
No, but I hear you and I feel it too. There's going to be an adjustment from the consumer mentality towards fast, cheap, and disposable.
Absolutely.
Toward an investment in things that can be with them, that they can form attachments to, and that represent not only this moment in time, but the past and possibly the future. If these objects have a longevity to them, then they don't feel... Then we do too. Then we can connect to our own longevity.
Yes, that is absolutely true. And also we have to think that for sure people, they will travel less, they will go less at the restaurants, they will have less vacation, they will buy less fashion clothes, they will have less social moments. And so people, they will stay at home more and they will understand, no, how important it is to live in a nice house and so. I see in this moment, all the people are really... Also, maybe if, again, they have no budget, no money, so, but they are living a lot at home and they are understanding if they need to change something in their own home, how to adapt their house also to the idea that they can work at home and so. So also, from this point of view, there will be a lot for design to do in the next future. It's not that due to the virus that design is dead. I don't believe this, really.
Thank you for sharing your insight with us. And I think one of the important things about this format that we're talking here is that people get to hear your story in your own voice. It allows them to connect to you personally and to sort of feel a deeper connection to the objects through knowing you and hearing your passion. Would you also share with our listeners a little about just Giulio, you and your private life? I know you've mentioned you have 3 children and a wife, so there's a family there. We're having this phone call. You're in Switzerland. Paint the picture for me of, like, Giulio. What do you eat for breakfast? Things like
for
that.
For sure. Okay, now my kids are one. She's 29, 25, and 22. So for sure they have their own life, no?
Yes.
Because sometimes, you know, I like to have all of them at home and so, but it's absolutely not true. It is my game. Normally, we are in Milano, but... Gerita, she's my third. She lives in Paris and Costanza, she lives with her boyfriend . So really, but for me, family is absolutely very, very important. It's the most important thing. Again, you know, thinking to the past, to the horrible period of my life, I think that without my family, I don't know what I can do, really.
Mm-hmm.
I like very normal things. And this is the same for my family and for my friends too. Okay, for my business. I have to be sometimes social. Also, if I am not just one person that is every evening to a party,
mm-hmm.
or no, absolutely. And really, I like the very simple things. I like to share my life with my family, to have a pizza together, and also to share my time also with my best friends. There are really few people, not only involved in design. Okay, because Piero is a very good friend of mine, like Rodolfo Dordoni, because we study together. They are good friends, and they are also architects and designers. But I have also really other friends that are not involved in design business. For example, you know, I'm a very good friend of Piero Gandini. He's the ex-owner of Floss Company. But with Piero, when we are used to meet each other, we never speak about business, about design, but we speak about other things, can be art or can be travel, and so and so. But really, coming back to myself, no. Sometimes the people, they think that I'm not enough open to the people, but maybe it's because I like to have my own privacy.
Sure.
And really to live my private life in a very easy way, because again, you know, normally apart this period, I travel a lot, because I travel more or less 100 days in a year worldwide, and so it's quite a lot. So many times I don't spend my weekend at home, because I use the weekend for the long trips to Asia or North America, and so on. So. And I like anyway very much to travel. But on the other side, you know, when at home, really, I like to do very, very simple things. And for me, again, the relationship, the human relationship, is really very, very important. If I've really maybe to choose if to have an easy pizza with some friends or to go to something super social, if I can, I choose the easy pizza with my friends. And so this is my life.
Well, I love that. And I sincerely hope there are many easy pizzas in the near future. Would you do me a favor? Would you look around the room that you're in right now and share with me just a simple non-Capellini object that you enjoy or that is part of your everyday?
Yes, because, you know, really, I have to say that this is also in my Milano house. I don't have, it's not just a 100% Capellini house. Mm-hmm. I have some old pieces from the 60s, and I have some unique pieces. Maybe some designers, some friends, they made for me. And, you know, also I like very much contemporary art.
Yes.
I have a great passion for contemporary art. And so if I look here, for example, okay, there is an old small table by Zarin and Forknoll, the white one, with some objects on top. And also here, I like to mix different objects, contemporary objects with maybe old Chinese potteries and so. And there is in another corner of this room, there is the sacco from Zanotta, and there is an old ritual armchair. There is a few Jasper Morrison chairs from Capellini. So when they ask me, how is your house? I always say, it's a chaos, like my life, you know. And because again, you know, I think that your home has to reflect your own personality, you know. I think that also if I like very much contemporary art, but for me the most important thing is that really a house has to be alive, not can be just like a museum. And also have books everywhere, because I love books. I'm not 100% technological, and so I still like a lot of paper.
Yes.
And really, I prefer to read a book on a real book in paper than on a computer. And so really, I have bookshelves and books everywhere, also on the floor. And I have really thousand of books in my studio, in my house on the lake, everywhere.
I love it. You've been interviewed a lot over the years. Is there anything that you'd like to say that no one has asked?
In the past, when they were doing it, they were interviewing me, maybe they were asking only about design. No?
Mm-hmm.
Now more and more people are curious to know which car I like, if I prefer pasta or risotto, and so. No, I want to speak about my dreams. No, if
yes.
I wasn't just an architect or an art director, what I want to do. But, you know, for sure, I think that one of my dreams, and maybe I hope I can do in the future, is to do books only with images, because I think that a beautiful image everyone can understand, no? Because if something is written, for sure, we have many, many different languages in the world, no? Mm-hmm. And maybe if it's written in Italian, American people, they cannot understand. And if it's written in Indian, mm-hmm. you know, Italian people, they cannot understand. But I think that really a beautiful image, really everyone can understand, no? A sort of world without words, but only with images. And so this is one of my dream. And second, I like very much movies. Also, if normally when I go to see a movie, I look more to the interior than to the history of the movie, no? In fact, really.
I would love for you to do production design. Oh my God, you just blew my mind. Yeah. That would be amazing. We need to make this happen, universe. We need to make this happen.
I remember that a few years ago, you know, I was working, I made just a project for Walt Disney. And so I spent a few days in the Walt Disney headquarters, no? And for me, it was really an incredible experience because in these buildings, and it seemed that Mr. Disney was always walking on the corridors. And, you know, I spent one day looking to the old drawings in this room with the white gloves, taking all the old drawings on the Fantasia, no? Mm-hmm. The beautiful movie of Walt Disney. And for me, it was like a dream. It was really crazy.
Wow.
And it was an incredible experience because I always think that, you know, you can really find it. I got a lot of inspiration because I think that really, you know, you can get inspiration from everything and everywhere. This is, again, very, very important. So I always say that, you know, I have a long list to do in my present life, but I have also a long list of things that I will like to do in my next life.
Yes!
So we will see. Again, we have always, you know, having to look to the future, and that's it.
You have too much energy for one lifetime, Giulio.
Oh, okay. We'll think to the next one.
Yes. Yes.
Good, good.
Well, is there something, you know, in the hopper right now in the pipeline that you'd like to let our listeners know to look out for? A current project?
Really, the project on which I'm working is, again, because normally, okay, when we think to a product, we think to a new table, a new chair, a new sofa, and so on. So. Now, the thing that we're working with a young team of students and designers coming from different parts of Europe, also from Eastern Europe, because in Eastern Europe there is also a new generation of very, very interesting young designers. Mm-hmm. And I'm working on what they call a landscape. Can be a domestic or can be just a landscape for an office or for a lounge and so, and so. For sure, again, I like to work on global projects. So on this landscape, for sure, you have piece of furniture, but my idea is to try to understand how people will live in the future and also to think to the new generation that they live in the Silicon Valley, the new young Chinese generation and so on. So I'm trying to work on this project that I think that is quite interesting because it's not only to say, okay, we do another chair, we do another table. There are already thousands of beautiful tables and chairs and stuff in the market. So, but really to try to give, and it's not a concept of lifestyle, but to try to work on this landscape for the future. Mm-hmm. And I think that this is really very important. And again, it's very important to work on this project, playing with different people coming from different parts of the world and with a different attitude to design.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that diversity and that inclusiveness is something that's always been a part of you and your perspective. Giulio, I just want to thank you so much for sharing everything that you've shared with us.
It has been really a great pleasure. Thank you, really. Thanks really a lot. And I hope that in the next future we have the possibility to meet in the real life. No,
I hope so, too.
As I always say, that for sure in the next future we will be back to shake our hands. And
yes,
this, the human relationship. And I think that we are discovering how much human relationship is important, you know.
Yes.
Now we are living in a virtual way, but when we will be back to the real way, we will rediscover for sure all these fantastic relationships.
Yes,
good.
Wonderful to see the sparkle in your eye and the smile on your face in person. There's nothing like it. So thank you so much for sharing sharing your heart and soul with
Thanks
us.
Thanks a lot.
Hey, thanks for listening. To see images from Giulio and Capellini and read the show notes, click the link in the details of this episode on your podcast app, or go to cleverpodcast.com where you can also sign up for our newsletter. Subscribe to Clever on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you would, please do us a favor and rate and review. It totally helps us. We love chatting with you on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. You can find us at Clever Podcast, and you can find me at Amy Devers. Clever is produced by 2VDE Media, with editing by Rich Stroffolino and music by L1011. Clever is proudly distributed by Design Milk.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.